ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone is your source for the best Boise State information, interviews, and analysis. Now, The Zone presents the Obnug Podcast. The creators of Boise State's premier fan site, One Bronco Nation Under God, take over the Zone airwaves with their weekly podcast to spew their blue and orange fandom. The Obnug Podcast.
We've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, man. It's just not enough.
Hello and welcome back to the Obnug Podcast. We've taken a little bit of a hiatus, enjoyed the bye week. The Broncos were able to recompose themselves and get some guys back from injury, and I suppose the Obnug crew has been able to do the same. As usual, I'm your host, Drew Roberts, from One Bronco Nation Under God. My normal co-host, Jesse Baker, was unable to join us. He sustained a pretty major injury in the BYU game, maybe cheering too loudly. So he was a game time decision, but he is unable to go. So we had to call up a reserve. Some of you might remember we've had Frank on before, but the always good, the talented Stallone brother, Frank Stallone. How you doing tonight, Frank?
I'm doing really good, Drew. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, man. Well, as we've been doing on our new format here, using the producer talents and airwaves of KZNO, ESPN in the zone.fm. KZNO, ESPN in Twin Falls have been gracious enough to give us a little bit of an extension to our signal here, if you will. And so we've changed things up just a little bit. And what we've liked to do, Frank, is we kind of start things off a little bit like the SNL weekend update style, kind of rapid fire news and notes from Bronco Nation. And I know that we discussed previously, a few things that happened in the bye week and things that have happened in the days leading up to the New Mexico game on Saturday. What's the one that's jumping out to you right off the top?
Yeah, thoughts from the bye week. I think that definitely the cost of attendance, I think, is interesting. There's been a lot of talk, around the college football world about the cost of attendance and how that could, affect student athletes in Boise, around the nation, where that will go. I think that it's definitely an interesting thing to think about. Where would the money come from? How much would students get? And then there's the flip side of that with some people thinking that the student athletes already get too much. They're getting a great scholarship. They're getting a lot of free clothing. They get to have great facilities. I think that it's pretty interesting that the cost of attendance is being discussed. I think the athletes work really hard for what they get. I think that they deserve every little bit of what they do. They put in a lot of time. I know the NCAA mandates how many hours they can spend at the facility, but BSU, they're definitely committed to excellence, and a lot of those guys are coming in and getting in a lot of extra hours. So I think that the cost of attendance is definitely something they've definitely earned.
Yeah, and wherever you fall on that sort of thing, it does seem like the writing is on the wall that the cost of attendance is probably something that's going to be adopted by the Power Five conferences. And so, I kind of applaud Boise State for getting out ahead of that and saying they have a commitment to that. Because, I think that is going to be a key differentiator between, the Group of Five and the Power Five teams, which of these schools can end up affording these extra benefits and things like that for the players, might end up kind of almost creating a third tier, for some of these schools. So, I'm glad that Boise State has pushed in all their chips and said, we're all in, we're committed to excellence. We're committed to, competing at the highest level. And I think that shows a lot to recruits and shows a lot to, what Boise State has really, committed themselves to in the last few years. The next point that I've got is kind of on the flip side of things. We're all kind of focused on football in the last four games of the regular season. But, sneakily, the basketball season has snuck up on us, and Boise State was able to play their first exhibition game last week. They were able to defeat the Laverne squad by a score of 92-60, and Boise State was able to get a lot of guys, a lot of the young guys were able to get some reps. Most importantly, it looks like Boise State finally has some kind of good size inside with freshman forward David Wacker. He came in and scored 12 points in his debut, and looked really good. And so, you know, it's going to be a fun year for basketball. I know that it's going to be a couple months maybe before people really start turning their attention to the hardwood. But Boise State, you know, has been able to do some good things under Coach Rice, and so they are underway. And I also have an exhibition game tomorrow against Montana Tech. So, you know, that should be a good chance to go out there and see it if you have a chance. Also in the basketball news, Boise State was able to procure the talents of a point guard named Paris Austin, a 5'9" point guard from Oakland, and a very highly sought after point guard. You know, something that Boise State's been missing in the last couple of years. So you might definitely want to check out the basketball team if you've been overly focused on football. Leon Rice doing some great things on the recruiting front, and Boise State definitely a team to watch in the Mountain West, and potentially the nation. We'll see. And as we kick back to football, you know, in our opening segment, I'd like to just kind of, as I've done week after week, kind of talk about some stats through eight games. Boise State has a rushing yardage average of 198 yards per game and 16 touchdowns. Obviously, the lion's share of that has gone to Jay Ajayi, who is now sitting at 985 rushing yards, only 15 from another 1,000-yard season. And his yards per carry is about 5 yards per carry, which is obviously very good. Jay Ajayi also has 14 total touchdowns on the season and well over 1,000 yards in all-purpose yardage. Grant Hedrick against BYU was finally able to get his touchdown-interception ratio on a positive side of things. He's now at 12 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. The impressive thing with Grant Hedrick is his completion percentage, which it has been hovering above 70 all year, and he had 72.5% right now on the season. And right now our leading receiver is still Matt Miller, even though he's been out a couple of games. So that just shows what an impressive talent wide receiver Matt Miller was. But creeping up on him is Shane Williams-Rhodes with 51 receptions for 432 yards, and he's been a valuable asset to the Broncos as well. As far as the defensive side of things, Boise State is still led by Tanner Vallejo with 51 total tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss, and 1.5 quarterback sacks. The impressive one to me is Tyler Gray, who has rocketed up the tackles chart, and now he is only 7 tackles behind Tanner Vallejo's lead with 44 tackles. He also has 4 tackles for loss, 2 quarterback sacks, and 5 pass breakups, also 2 forced fumbles. So really, Tyler Gray is putting in a quiet year of potentially an all-conference season, and so it's good to see that happen. And Boise State obviously has a lot of talent on the defensive side of things right now. It's good to see some of those guys making their presence known. And also on the takeaways end of things, Dante Dion now sitting with 4 interceptions, Darian Thompson all the way up to 5. So out of Boise State's 14 interceptions, 9 of them belong to Dante Dion and Darian Thompson. So impressive stats. We'll talk a little bit about, which guys stuck out to you from the BYU game, Frank. But, some of the stats I was just mentioning, with Tyler Gray kind of coming out of nowhere and really, putting in a solid season, what are your thoughts on how he's playing right now and some of the other guys that I mentioned, on the stats sheet?
Yeah, I think a big thing is our defense. You mentioned Vallejo, obviously great. You can throw Blake Reno, Corey Bell at the nickel position at times into that same position. Those guys are making plays, and we've got a great front seven. Our front four on defense is getting a good pass rush. Our linebackers are filling the holes and playing very physical. I think that's definitely, you got to give credit to Andy Avalos, the linebackers coach, for getting those guys prepared and getting them in the right mindset and in the game plan each week to go out and whether it's stop the run or cover the flats in the passing game. Those guys really want the ball. I think if you look at our defense throughout the whole season, our defense has really been very, very steady, and it's been one thing that we could kind of lean on at all times and say, okay, our defense, it's third and six, third and four, third and three, and in game after game, the defense is coming up well. You mentioned Dante Dion. Teams are, he's going to be locked up with a team's best wide receiver, so it's his job to not only go out there and defend, and he attacks the ball, and it's definitely paid off for us in times when we've needed it. We needed a big boost at UConn. He gave it to us with the pretty much the strip and taking the ball away from Jeremy Davis. He did it at Fresno State to seal that game in the waning moments. So a lot of guys on defense are coming up big. It's not just one person, but it seems to be four or five people every night, and that's attributed. That starts with the D coordinator Marcel Yates and the individual coaches having a great game plan and getting our guys focused and ready to go. And that's been fun to watch this season. We haven't exactly had that last season, but this season the guys are really playing with that chip on their shoulder, and it seems to be that what made Boise State so great, that blue-collar attitude is really starting to show up again. That's been exciting to see from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's something that's jumped out to me looking at the stat sheet is that Boise State currently has three players with over 9 tackles for loss. And, with at least 5 games left in the season, that's pretty impressive. The last couple of years, our really stud standout guys have been somewhere in the, 12, 13 tackles for loss on the year. So we have several guys that look like they're going to surpass that easily. So, yeah, definitely a defensive side of things getting it done. Offense has obviously picked things up as well and really kicked it up a notch against BYU. And so when we come back from commercial, we'll talk about BYU, even though it was 2 weeks ago. But, all the win is fresh in my mind, so we'll talk to you in just a moment.
For all you Nuggies, visit www.obnug.com. The Obnug Podcast will be right back on KZNO, ESPN 970 and 97.5, and InTheZone.fm.
Know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count.
Attention Boise State fans, ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone is already the state of Idaho's best source for unbiased, truthful, and in-depth Bronco analysis. Now, join the most passionate Bronco fans each week for the Obnug Podcast on ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone and online at inthezone.fm.
And we're back, and we are starting to talk about BYU. We led into it right before commercial break, but it's definitely worth mentioning, even though we've had a bye week as a buffer in between. Always good when you can come in and get a win over BYU, especially a revenge game like we faced this year after the trouncing that BYU put on us last year in Provo. And, Boise State kind of looked like they finally put a complete game together. And honestly, I think the fans at Albertsons Stadium really kind of put a complete game together, too. It was loud and raucous. I actually had a chance to talk to Brian Harsin after the game, asked him about the fans and the atmosphere there, and he was quite complimentary. And, man, I'll tell you what, Boise State brought the noise, and the offense and defense brought the pain. So, first off, man, I mean, what did you think, Frank? I mean, how nice is it to get that win over BYU?
Oh, it was a huge win. I mean, even though BYU has lost a few games leading into that, lost their quarterback, BYU still had a lot of things that they could hurt us with. It was a very big game. They have some fans here in the area with the presence of the LDS community. And so, it was definitely a big game. They're big program, big win for us, but it was very good to see our offense come out and really put together drive after drive after drive, and there really seemed to be very few points of inconsistency. And I think that's one thing that coming into the game was a big question mark. Can they string together drive after drive? It was a concern, and I think that's something they were able to answer, and the offense was able to really do I think a lot of things that they had game planned. They weren't able to really run the ball for big yardage at first, but they stayed with it. Ajayi kept grounding out 3-yard gains, 4-yard gains, and they stuck with it. And the fact that we have Jay Ajayi forced BYU to put a lot of guys in the box to make sure that we couldn't get that easy yardage. That opened up things for our wide receivers downfield. BYU played a lot of cover 3, which is a keep everything in front of you style of defense.
We were hitting a lot of underneath routes, and we timed some deep routes perfectly. You got to credit the coaching staff for calling those right plays, and you got to credit our players for making those plays when we needed to. And that was it. That was the difference, was the execution in the game planning. And our guys, credit them. They did really well. A lot of love to go around offensively and defensively. You mentioned a lot of the stats. Grant Hedrick had a phenomenal night throwing the ball and making good decisions. We were able to put a lot of points on a team that traditionally has built themselves on a very tough, gritty defense. And Bronco Mendenhall is a very well-respected defensive mind in the league, and we were able to put up a lot of points and kind of make them look somewhat silly at times. But it was a great win. Our guys prepared well for it, played hard. Coaches had a great game plan, and it was a very fun game for the fans to see.
Yeah, it was a very fun game, and also, you know, I got to admit, it was a bit of a shocking game. I mean, I knew that when Taysom Hill went down, you know, I think Boise State had to look at that and say, you know, our chances against BYU improved a little bit. I think the fact that the game was at home also improved our chances. But, you know, like a lot of me is, you know, thinking even with Taysom Hill under center, Boise State, you know, just was rolling so well offensively. It's hard for me to imagine that even a Taysom Hill-led BYU team would have gone into Bronco Stadium, Albertson Stadium, and come out with a win. I mean, Boise State rolled up 637 yards of offense, which, you know, was really a shocker. And I don't know if I've ever seen a quarter quite like the second quarter we had against them, scoring 31 points, you know, outdoing their game total of 30 points, you know, just in that one quarter. You know, what was your thought on some of those turning points in the game and the momentum Boise State was able to really seize upon?
Yeah, definitely the deep ball to Thomas Burbeck. You know, we get the ball back, and I think it was the first play. Once again, they ran a double move. Their corners bit on it. Safety was late to help with that. Grant threw a great ball. Thomas, who made the catch, and then outran the defenders to the end zone. Huge turning point, because then their defense is on their heels. You know, the next possession, they're thinking, okay, are they going to go deep again? Are they going to keep it short? It's a great play call. Darian Thompson's interception right before halftime, that was very key, because BYU was going to get the ball back at half. They have some explosive options on offense. I think we're kind of thinking, okay, are they going to get a field goal before half and then get the ball, whereas intercept the ball and get some points out of it. Great turning point there. A big momentum play was, even though it ended up being negated by an offsides call, was Darren Lee's tackle on a kickoff return. Just electrified the stadium. That's something that you want to see your special teams guys doing. And Darren Lee is someone who's built himself on being a special teams guy, carrying the hammer. It definitely a huge hit. You love to see that, and that gets the crowd fired up. And then another turning point for me would have been when BYU was threatening. I'm not sure if it was in the second or third quarter, but it was a fourth down as they were marching into our red zone. And we had brought an all-out blitz on the third down and forced just Christian Stewart to throw the ball away. And then on fourth down, they had a look with their tight end Devin Mahina being open on a corner out in the back part of the end zone. But I think Stewart just led him a little too far. Didn't complete the pass, turnover on downs. That was huge. Our defense getting another stop when we needed it to put our offense back on the field. Big momentum plays, big time, in my opinion, of putting the momentum our way. Is great to see a lot of guys. I mean, you could think about Elliot Hoy, Matt Boson, some of the third down and second down, fourth down pressure they brought. But there's a lot of, you know, it's tough to really just single out three and four in a night that was filled with a lot of big plays on both sides of the ball and a lot of scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll kind of mention some of the game balls that Obnug handed out in a moment. But, you know, I think the biggest thing to me in the BYU game was just that it seemed that Bronco magic had kind of returned a little bit, you know, where, you know, Boise State kind of, you know, went up 20 points before BYU scored, and then BYU scored, and, you know, kind of it seemed like some of that momentum had kind of shifted, and Boise State just struck right back. And, you know, it seemed like one of those nights where Boise State just was not going to be denied. You know, it kind of reminded me of, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, or even, you know, the last decade, really, how it was like to attend a game in Bronco Stadium where, you know, you just knew that Boise State was going to come out victorious. The crowd was into it. The team was fired up. You know, just to see that emotion and physicality from the Broncos, you know, was very refreshing to see. Gives me a lot of hope for the future of this team, which is still, you know, a very young team and obviously a new coaching staff. So, you know, that was just a great, great win, you know, for the confidence of the fans, for the confidence of the team, and, you know, everything they're going to need to go into this final four-game stretch of the regular season. You know, quickly I'll mention kind of some of the game balls that we handed out individually on Obnug. You might want to interject, Frank, if you have any thing to add or guys that you think needed to be on this list. My first guy was Kamale Correa, who just has been an absolute stud this year in play and also the position he plays, which happens to be also called the stud. He had 2 sacks and 3.5 tackles for loss in the win, and he was also named the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week, which is the second week in a row Boise State has landed such an offer. On the season, Kamale has 5.5 sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss, and 2 forced fumbles. You know, I talked about it a little bit last week, but yeah, Kamale, you know, wearing the number 8 this year. DeMarcus Lawrence wore it last year, and Kamale's actually putting up some stats that are similar to DeMarcus Lawrence, which, you know, may be shocking to some who thought, you know, the second-round pick, you know, was going to be really hard to replace. But Kamale definitely getting things done on that side of things. Another game ball went to Grant Hedrick. Happy to give game balls after you know, the rough start he had of the season. He had 410 yards passing and 5 total touchdowns, and really kind of locked in on some of those deep balls that had been missing earlier in the season. So it was good to see Grant make the decisions, you know, there on the ground, through the air. Really got things going for the Broncos. Another one I had was Dan Goodell. You know, it's hard for Bronco fans to praise the kicker, but, you know, Dan's done a great job this year. He's 5 for 5 the last 2 contests, and he's currently leading the country in touchbacks, which is, you know, kind of an underrated stat, I would say. Another one I had was Thomas Spurbeck, who, you know, obviously had that 78-yard touchdown reception, but 148 yards receiving against BYU. And, you know, really showed a deadly combination of speed and hands. So it's great to see him, you know, kind of be the silver lining in Matt Miller's injury, is that, you know, Spurbeck has really arrived and shown that he can be a key contributor to the team. And then the last guy we had was, who you already mentioned, Darren Lee, who, you know, really storybook game for him. The Statesman had featured in this that week prior to the game and, you know, talked about kind of, you know, him going on a mission and things like that. And then and him taking pride in that hammer, and him coming out and really ringing some bells there. So that was good to see. Any other guys that, you know, I might have missed, Mark, or should we wrap it up and move on to this next week's matchup?
You mentioned it, Hedrick, Spurbeck. I would have put down the defense also, and we've talked about it quite a bit. If you look at the BYU wide receivers, they had a lot of height. Not necessarily fast, but they had a lot of height that they could have done some things with. And our DBs were able to line up, position themselves correctly, and make sure that BYU wasn't able to exploit that height. And so I just think the big thing for me would probably be a game ball for the whole defense. Even without Taysom Hill, BYU still had weapons. They still had a quarterback who could move around fairly well and create some opportunities, and our defense was able to lock that down.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a great all-around effort by the offense and defense. And ladies and gentlemen, that's how you win games. And so we're hoping to win a game on Saturday against New Mexico, another key conference matchup. And we'll talk about that in a moment. So we'll be right back.
For all you Nuggies, visit www.obnug.com. The Obnug Podcast will be right back on KZNO, ESPN 970 and 97.5, and in the zone.fm.
Got your girl over in the corner, yes, exactly.
Come on.
All you gotta do is put your hands up and rock. Don't be scared, little mama. Yeah, got you. Now do your phone.
You're listening to ESPN 970 and 97.5 The Zone. Now, back to the Obnug Podcast.
And welcome back to the Obnug Podcast. We just finish talking about the Broncos' beatdown of the BYU Cougars. A win that still, you know, resonates with me and, you know, feels mighty good. And, you know, Boise State obviously looking to keep those winning ways alive. Boise State's won three straight, three straight rivalry games at that. So Boise State definitely has it rolling right now, especially, you know, kind of got things locked in offensively and really have been putting up a lot of points of late. You know, the defense playing well, as we mentioned, still giving up maybe a few too many points for some people's taste. But, you know, if you outscore teams, it doesn't really matter if you win by 1 point or you win by 30 points. You know, a win's a win, especially when you get late in the season like we are now. Boise State wins out and they are in the championship. So, you know, I guess the biggest thing to look for here with New Mexico coming up on Saturday would be just the fact that Boise State has played very differently on the road. You know, Jay Ajayi's played differently on the road. Grant Hedrick has obviously played differently on the road. New Mexico, probably not the strongest opponent on our schedule here. They are, you know, Of the eight games we've played, seven teams have a winning record. New Mexico is limping right now, only a couple wins to under their belt. And so obviously, like, New Mexico on paper doesn't really, you know, seem to match up well against the Broncos. But I think, you know, as we saw against Air Force, Boise State, you know, kind of has to not defeat themselves, which they have a tendency to do on the road. You know, started sluggish at UConn and some of those games, you know, where they've had to kind of, you know, seize momentum back and really get their heads in the game. So Frank, I mean, what's your thoughts here? I know New Mexico, not the strongest opponent, like we said, but, you know, what's the fear here? Is it the, you know, a road Broncos team comes out flat, or do you think Boise State's turned a corner on that end of things?
Well, I think you got to take into the context the road games and the personnel. Some of the road games we've struggled on. I'm not totally certain the numbers in front of me, but Reese Odhiambo was hurt for about a three-game stretch there, and we really struggled to run the ball with in his absence. And so in some of those games that we struggled were on the road. So with Reese Odhiambo being inserted back into the lineup, got some reps Fresno State. We were able to run the ball pretty well against Fresno. And then he started full-time against BYU, and we were able to grind out some good yardage on the ground with him. And so with him back in the lineup, even though it being a road game, I still think that we're going to run the ball well and our offense will play well. We've been able to kind of work some things on the road. Yeah, Air Force was a tough loss, but, you know, it was the offense that turned the ball over that many times, and our defense played extremely well against Air Force. If you go back and look at the numbers, our defense forced 6 3-and-outs against Air Force, which is tough to do, because Air Force, even in a 3-and-out, they're going to take off 2.5-3 minutes off the clock. They're not a passing team. And so that really limits the amount of touches that an offense gets. So our defense did good against Air Force. We've got a healthy Reese Odhiambo to help out our running game. Our offense has found more weapons with Jeremy McNichols. He's able now, we can send him in motion, and we can keep Shane at the wide receiver spot going downfield, stretching defenses that way. And then we've also found Tom Spurbeck, who's been able to step in and have a lot of production in Matt Miller's absence. So I think we've been building on some things, getting a few guys healthy and finding some more playmakers. And I think those things coupled with high level of focus should translate to a win against New Mexico.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking at the four games that Boise State has remaining, you know, we've got San Diego State and Utah State, which I think people are probably assuming are going to be probably the tougher games of the remaining four. However, we get both those games at home. New Mexico and Wyoming are kind of these X-factor games. You know, both are expected to be wins for the Broncos, but obviously, you know, it's kind of which Bronco team shows up. But so, you know, I definitely agree with you that New Mexico shouldn't, you know, be a huge hurdle for the Broncos. You know, it's definitely key for the Broncos, you know, kind of keep that momentum going, because this is an extremely key, you know, point of the season for the Broncos, where there's really no margin of error. So, you know, I think Boise State gets it done in Albuquerque. But, you know, stranger things have happened. We went in there in 2012, built a 25-point lead and snuck out of there with a 3-point win. So anything can happen sometimes when you face a triple option, as we've seen. You know, I guess talking a little bit about the triple option, I know a lot of people kind of get the, you know, night sweats thinking about the Air Force game, But as you mentioned, you know, it really wasn't their offense that really did us in. Do you think there's any chance that, you know, the triple option might snake bite us, or do you think that, you know, that was just a more of a flukish game we had against Air Force?
Well, to give respect to our opponent, I definitely think there's an opportunity for that option to snake bite us. New Mexico is very good at what they do. They've got big wide receivers that are able to get out there on the DBs and seal that edge. They've got two good running backs. Their starting running back, Crusoe Gongbei, got hurt early in the year, so he's out. That's left a couple guys to step in. Jarrell Presley and Tarion Gibson have been able to step in and run the ball really well. They're not guys that you might think, oh, well, that's, you know, that guy's running a 4.3 40. No, but once they hit the hole, if one of our, you know, linebackers fills the wrong gap and those running backs hit the hole, they can take it all the way, because you can't blow a gap assignment against an option team. And then their quarterback, Lamar Jordan, he played a little bit here and there, but with Cole Gauchy being hurt, he is now going to be taking over full time as the starter. And he has the ability. He's not the physical run you over type of guy like Gauchy is, but he's very slippery. He can move very well in the open field. He's got pretty good touch on his passes, but he obviously they don't throw very much. And he misses sometimes with his guys, but I think that the option can definitely hurt us. And that's what's going to put the pressure on our defense to make sure that they play their gaps the way they need to. And the option teams, they only want you to mess up 5 or 6 times a game. They're counting on it, because those 5 or 6 plays can lead to big touchdowns. And if they can just ground out some yardage here and there and get those 5 or 6 plays, they're going to be in a game. But if a defense is able to lock that down, fill their gaps, and stop those big plays, then the option teams have to start passing and moving on to other plans of attack.
Well, yeah, man, I was going to ask you about the players to watch and kind of the keys to the game, but you just rolled right through that. So props on taking the ball and running with it, as we expect to see a lot of on Saturday, both from Ajayi and the triple option of the Lobos. You know, I guess going back a little bit to that triple option, I think what I've seen from the Broncos, you know, of late, if I was able to pick out one area of concern, it's the fact that the Boise State has seemed to give up bigger plays this season. I think overall they've been playing pretty sound D, but, you know, have been a bit prone to lapses and things like that. And, you know, like you mentioned, that could definitely be something to be concerned about versus an option team, because they do chew a lot of the clock up. And if they're able to chew up some quick yardage, you know, then, you know, obviously it could put Boise State on their heels. And if Boise State doesn't have the time of possession on their side, you know, sometimes that can be problematic. But, you know, certainly I don't think Boise State should have that issue. I think a big stat that jumps out to me is 246. And that's the amount of rushing yards they gave up to San Diego State's Donnell Pumphrey a few weeks ago in a loss to the Aztecs. So, you know, I think that Jay Ajayi is every bit the running back as Pumphrey. And, in fact, much more of a running back, in my opinion. You know, he might not have some of that speed burst that Pumphrey has, but, you know, Ajayi is a big physical NFL-type running back. And, you know, if you remember, in 2012, that was kind of Jay Ajayi's big coming-out game. You know, he reeled off a 73-yard run right out of the gate. You know, it was one of his first touches of the year. Of course, he was a little bit bigger than out of shape, admittedly, by himself, you know, had his knee wrapped and everything like that. He's only gotten better since then. You know, and I look at what New Mexico has given up on the ground of late. They've given up 3 straight games of at least 200 yards rushing. And so I think Ajayi is due for a big day. Like we said, just he needs 15 yards to hit that 1,000-yard plateau. You know, at what point do you think he actually gets that, Frank? I'm thinking maybe first series. What do you think, man? Big day for Ajayi?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be first series. Watching New Mexico on defense, they don't really stand out and say, wow, you know, this guy's really great, this guy's really great, or this system's great. I think we definitely have to play our assignments on offense, make sure, you know, we're sealing the guys, blocking properly. I think he gets it on the first series. I think our offense overall should be able to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish, you know, running the ball, running the jet sweep, getting downfield, getting guys open across the middle with tight ends. I think our offense should have a big day. And so I really expect them to play at a high level. The big fear for me is the defense, and if they're going to stop that triple option.
Yeah, and that's always a concern, I suppose. But I got to say, actually having Cole Gauchy out, it gives me a little bit more, you know, confidence in this game. Lamar Jordan obviously has some skill set that he can use there. But the thing that Gauchy did was he was able to extend those drives because he was such a big physical guy that, you know, if they were able to use that triple option to get a third and two or third and three, you know, they could do kind of more of a quarterback sneak to Gauchy, and his, you know, 230 or 40-pound frame could kind of grind ahead for those yards and extend those drives and, you know, keep the time of possession on their side. Lamar Jordan, obviously, quite a bit smaller. He's only about 5'10", 5'11". And so, you know, I think that our defensive tackles and ends probably shouldn't have much trouble stopping him. I don't think they're going to have as much of the quarterback sneak in them. And, yeah, I think Boise keeps things ahead of them and wins this one. We've got away from doing the score predictions because, we're just being that superstitious, because last game we actually put forth predictions on was the Air Force game. And so, you know, with that, we decided to change our socks, our underwear, and quit doing the predictions. So we won't do that, but I will certainly predict a win. It sounds like you're doing the same, Frank. And, you know, anything else you want to say as far as keys to the game or anything that you're looking forward to this weekend?
No, I'm liking with Jerry McNichols in the offense and what he's doing. I think our offensive coaching staff's getting some momentum, finding their rhythm. I think it's going to be a good game. I do think New Mexico will keep it closer than we probably expect, but not as close as 2012.
Yeah, it's the spread on this one has kind of crept up to a point where I'm not sure Boise State will be able to cover, especially on the road. But nonetheless, I think Boise State escapes with a win. And like you mentioned about the offensive play calling, I really give a lot of props to Mike Sanford, who, you know, has really been kind of emptying out the playbook of late. And, you know, Boise State has gone back to their, you know, flawless execution from that, you know, that we've kind of grown accustomed to. So good to see Boise State peaking at the right time, and let's just hope they can keep it rolling all the way to the championship. And so, you know, until next week, we will wrap this thing up. And I always give my co-host the opportunity to give a good go Broncos. So go right ahead, Frank.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. Go Broncos.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Ognug. One Bronco Nation under God.